If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the Bani of the Satguru. Nanak says, always sing, as this is the true Bani.
Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Avo Sika Sataguru Ke Piario Avo Sika Sataguru Ke Piario Gavo Sachi Bani Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Bani Tagavo Guru Keri Bani Tagavo Guru Keri Bani Asira Bani Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jinko Nadada Karamahove Jinko Nadada Karamahove Hirdey Tina Samani Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Pivo Amarita Sararaho Hariranga Pivo Amarita Sararaho Hariranga Japio Saranga Pani Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Pivo Amarita Sararaho Hariranga Pivo Amarita Sararaho Hariranga Japio Saranga Pani Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Kahe Nanaka Sadagavo Kahe Nanaka Sadagavo Eho Sachi Bani Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani Jai Parasahunaye Jindariye Parasataguru Di Bani
Nanak says, always sing, as this is the true Bani. If you want to become the philosopher's stone, O soul, read the Bani of the Satguru. Our first reading today is a letter that Baba Sawan Singh wrote to Mrs. Brock. Dr. and Mrs. Brock were his first Western initiates and his representatives. April 27, 1921, Sawan Singh writes, My dear daughter, Radha Swami, I am in receipt of your letter of February 18th, along with the enclosed letter for Mrs. Bridgman. The reply to Mrs. Bridgman's letter is enclosed herewith. Please read that and pass it on to her. I have forbidden her to use the RS name except as the name of the faith. I very much appreciate the keen interest that you and the doctor have taken in the work of the Master. You are conducting this work of satsang on right lines of the faith, and the Master is very pleased with you. Your exposition of Kal and Dayal is quite satisfactory. To comprehend it in its entirety is difficult until one has reached a certain stage of spiritual progress. Though we know it or not, the Master sees everyone and everything. Master is the supreme power, which permeates all. In Satchkhand and other regions, he is present. His form varies with the region. On the physical plane, he has the form like ours. This form he assumed for our benefit, to teach us, to give us the message of the Supreme Father, and to uplift us. When an individual is capable of withdrawing his mind and soul current from his body and concentrating on the eye focus, then he begins to see within himself the finer form of the Master. From the moment of initiation, this finer form takes charge of the individual and is within him constantly. This form, inwardly, if an individual establishes his connection with it by concentration, will answer directly, face to face, all the questions put to it. Unfortunately, our attention is outward, and we look outside and can see only the physical forms. When our attention is inward, we will see finer forms. This finer form of the Master watches us always. You may say, why then does the Master, through this form, not prevent us from committing sins and falling into temptations if he is always with us? He does help, but only when you sincerely and from your inmost heart desire to avoid temptations, not when you secretly wish to enjoy the guilty pleasure and only outwardly pray for help. You would perhaps say, Master is more powerful than us, so why does he not prevent us forcibly? Mind will not concentrate and rise up so long as there are desires of this world in it. The individual's desires are mostly the outcome of past karma. Feeble and passing desires arise in thought and are stilled after mental satisfaction. There are other desires which are more persistent. They have to be satisfied, some even on the physical plane. So whatever happens is for our ultimate good, although at times it appears antagonistic to our calculations. We are ignorant of our past karma, but Master knows. So the whole thing reduces to this, that we do what we have been asked to do by the Master, the spiritual exercises, and do our worldly things with our ordinary wisdom and never caring for the result. Do your duty and expect nothing. Leave that to the Master. For me, it is immaterial whether you hold the service or Jalvant Singh does, provided the service is conducted in the true spirit of service and is looked upon as Master's work and done without any idea of self-praise or egoism. Then the very selflessness will reflect upon others and remove any chance of misunderstanding. However, do as you think proper. I wish you a successful trip to California and hope you will carry on Master's work with love and affection. I hope this will reach you before you start for California. My RS to Dr. Brock and the other satsangis. Yours affectionately, Sawan Singh. And this is Master Kripal's Circular 17, which was first issued in August of 1961. It's called Love, Concentration, and Self-Surrender, The Psychology of Mysticism. So Master says, when one undertakes to reach a certain goal in any field of human activity, it is necessary to take stock of one's progress from time to time. It is only through such stock-taking that one can become conscious of one's shortcomings and errors and eradicate and uproot them and plan out future progress. Having put our shoulders to the wheel of the great master's cause, it is necessary that we should, in like manner, review our activity and achievement from time to time. Without such self-analysis and self-criticism, no real advancement is possible. And it was to encourage this practice and make it a daily habit that, in the case of individual initiates, I insisted and continue to insist that they maintain a daily record of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and of the period of meditation. What is necessary for us as individual initiates is even more necessary for us as members of a large movement. Reviewing the work done in the past few years, there is much, I find, for which we may be grateful. Many have shown remarkable capacity for selfless service, and others have made commendable progress on the inner path. Nevertheless, while noting this with pleasure, I cannot help observing the growth of tendencies which must be a matter of concern for all of us. And I'll briefly note that back then, this is before I was even on the path, there were some, growth of tendencies that must be a matter of concern. There was not love, there was competition between some of the group leaders. In spite of recommended exhortations and persuasions, I find growing and springing up amidst us the weeds of discord and disharmony. Oh, and I also mentioned these things were eventually resolved, much to Master's pleasure. Competition seems to have taken the place of cooperation, rivalry, that of love, and distrust, that of trust and good faith. The emergence of such fissiparous tendencies has marked the beginning of the decline of any great movement. Unless checked, they multiply and lead ultimately to serious rifts and divisions. The original goal is completely forgotten in the heat of controversy and debate, and the purpose that we set out to achieve lies wholly neglected. If we are to escape this fate, we must zealously watch ourselves and rid ourselves of any undesirable traits that may be imperceptibly developing in us. Why such disharmony should keep up is not difficult to tell. The master cannot be present in his person, in his physical person, everywhere and at all times. His mission must be carried on with the assistance of his disciples. These disciples are individuals inspired by spiritual longings who have been put on the road, but who have not necessarily reached the goal. The ultimate end is not easy to attain, and very few indeed reach it within this lifetime. The Master's cause must, therefore, be carried on with the aid of men and women, who in most cases are yet on the path and have not attained perfection. Their vision is individual, not universal, and the viewpoint from which they see and judge is limited and is limited by the degree of spiritual development attained by them. When they are entrusted with any responsibility, it is inevitable that they should discharge it within the terms of their own vision and insight. And when, in discharging this responsibility, they have to collaborate with others like themselves, others whose viewpoint is equally individual and distinct, the roots of discord begin. So long as they work directly under the guidance of the master, all is well. But the moment they have also to work in collaborating and cooperating, controversy begins. They should understand that they are all laborers in the field of the master, working for promoting the holy cause of leading the seekers to the goal of life. The man who could see could resolve at a touch the contradictory statements regarding the elephant made by the proverbial six blind men. But left to themselves, they could only wrangle and debate. Each considered that he was right and the others were wrong, and each distrusted what the others had to say. If six men lacking full vision could not agree about the nature of so limited and well-defined an object as an elephant, it is not surprising that those with limited vision should be unable to harmonize completely on so vast and unlimited a subject as spirituality. And yet, while it is natural for those who lack full vision not to agree fully on such matters, we must not allow this limitation to create division and dissension. For if we fail to find a remedy, we will ultimately have to sacrifice the cause which brought us together. And what a great loss that would be. There is only one remedy for all such discord, and that is love. He who has not mastered its secret can never hope to be received in the court of the Lord. It's the beginning and the end of spirituality. He who understands love in its true nature and who lives and moves by its light shall, surely as two added to two makes four, attain the Lord. As Christ said, "Love, and all things shall be added unto thee." And Guru Gobind Singh, "Listen, for I give you the very essence of truth. Those who have loved have reached the Lord." Love knows selfless service, sacrifice, and self-surrender. Let no one interested in spiritual advancement perform service for the sake of appreciation. Selfless service is a great reward in itself. It even sacrifices one's personal interests for the cause one has sincerely taken up. What is this love of which all mystics, Eastern and Western, have spoken so insistently? Is it like the love of the earth that we know? If you study the bonds of earthly love, you will find that at some point or another, a trace of self-assertion is present in every case. Parent and child, friend and friend, man and wife, each is involved in a more or less strong drive for possession. It is a love that can often rise to great heights of self-sacrifice, and yet it is a love that is not wholly selfless. But the love of which the mystics speak is a love that must be completely purified of the self. If one has not attained complete purification in this respect, one's love is still not perfect and not truly acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. And so the love of mystics is one in which one completely and unreservedly surrenders oneself to one's love. The seeker who, having found a true master, has developed such absolute love for him, steadily purifies himself of all imperfections, and makes himself a fit recipient of divine grace. You may well ask why there is this insistent stress on complete self-surrender on the mystic path. The answer is simple. Without this absolute surrender of the last vestiges of ego and selfhood, and without such complete absorption in the object of one's love, one cannot attain that unwavering concentration of all one's faculties, which is the prerequisite of all inner progress. Absolute love and self-surrender are only other aspects of complete and flawless concentration. The moment the self enters into the picture and the question of I-ness arises, the single-pointedness of concentration is dissipated and inner advancement is made impossible. Besides, the goal of the spiritual aspirant lies far beyond the limits of individuality. His goal is union with the absolute, and such union must necessarily be a denial of the limits that separate us from each other. He who cannot rise above the ego, the faculty which creates these very limits, cannot hope to attain to that station which is the denial of all individuality and a realization of the oneness of all life. Hence it is that mystics of all traditions have been untiring in their stress of the need for absolute self-surrender. It was this cross of sacrifice of the self, the ego, of which Jesus spoke when he exhorted his disciples to bear their cross daily. For in every little act, word, or thought, the ego is seeking to dominate us. And if the seeker is to triumph over it, he must be prepared to crucify it every moment. To achieve this degree of self-surrender, one must not look up to the deity in its abstract form, but in its human form, as the master. For how else is one to know God's will directly, in order to surrender oneself to it? What one may take as an intuition inspired by the divine may be, really, one's own self speaking in disguise. And surrender to such seeming intentions may be, really, surrender to the self, to the ego. However, if one has found a true master who is attuned to the Lord and is his mouthpiece and obeys him in all things completely and absolutely, he will surely destroy the hydra-headed serpent of the ego and reach his heavenly home one day. There will be moments in the course of such love when one, judging from one's own limited understanding, doubts the validity of the master's instructions. But such moments are only tests to make our self-surrender more complete and more secure. And he who passes through these tests successfully will one day radiate with the glory of God. We will leave off at that point. And our final reading is continuing in a satsang talk that Sanchi gave at 16 PS in September of 1982. And this is from the November 1982 Sanpani magazine. This is on Bani of Swamiji. So continuing, Sanchi says, we'll continue, we'll pick up with lines from the hymn. Pundits, for their own self-interest, criticize the saints. And Sanchi says, when saints and masters do their satsang, what happens? The pundits, or fake people, those who have made a business of reading holy scriptures and deluding the people, start throwing dirt at the saints. They start criticizing the saints because the satsang of the saints affects their business. Reading history, we become ashamed when we understand that the saints and Mahatmas came into this world to liberate us for our own benefit. But instead of taking advantage of their coming into this world, we people gave them a hard time. We know how Christ was crucified and how Guru Arjan Dev was tortured. And in the same way, Swamiji Maharaj was also bothered very much. And many other Mahatmas who came into this world for the sake of the souls, and they were given a very hard time. Reading all that history, we feel embarrassed. The Mahatmas come into the world for our sake, and what do we do in return? I remember one sect of a certain religion wrote a book against Master Sawan Singh, and they used to criticize him a lot. Master Sawan Singh was told by people that he should respond to their criticism, but he replied that there was no need to do that, as as saints are unique examples, and the critics would learn something. They opposed Master Sawan Singh so much that they made their religious place in front of the place of Master Sawan Singh. And from morning to evening, they used to go on criticizing him. Still, Master Sawan Singh was so gracious and loving to them that he would invite them to eat the food in the langar, saying, it is the langar of the masters. And since you people don't have any means to eat food over there at your place, you're welcome to eat food here. You see how much love the masters have for the people, even for their critics. But what do the critics do? They go on criticizing the master, and they don't appreciate and understand the love of the masters. We know how our Supreme Father, Master Kripal, was criticized and opposed by many people. Many people criticized him in their writings too. Saints know who criticizes others. They know that only those who have weakness within themselves criticize others. To hide their own weakness, they criticize and comment on others' ability. But saints have big hearts, and that is why they have love even for their critics and always forgive them. From the hymn. Lovingly, saints explain to them also, but they do not understand. The saints shower a lot of grace on their critics also, and they always explain lovingly to them that this is not a good thing for them to do. Master Kripal Singh Ji used to say, if you will throw a stone into the dirt, you will also get the stain. And Guru Nanak Sahib used to say, to criticize even a sinner is a bad thing. And again from the hymn, they are desirous of name, fame, and wealth, and are devoid of spirituality. Why do people criticize the saints? Because they're fond of collecting wealth and they desire name and fame. They know that if anyone goes to the perfect saint even once, excuse me, that person will not come to them, and they will not be able to treat that person according to their own intentions. And that is why they always criticize the saints. In the sight of a perfect master who has done meditation, The rich person and the poor person receive the same amount of respect. Master respects both of them alike. In the same way, whether one is man or woman, he or she will have equal respect. Those who criticize the saints or Mahatmas will not get any spiritual wealth. Swamiji Maharaj says, whatever spiritual wealth they have, they will lose it, and they will not get any more. Again from the hymn, they go around in the cycle of 84 lakhs. Again and again, they go into the four categories of birth. Now, Swamiji Maharaj says, what happens to them? They fall into the cycle of 84 lakhs, births and deaths, and they even have to take the forms of lower bodies. From the hymn, they read the knowledge of the previous age. Some talk about law, some about the Vedas. Now, he says, what do these people do? They read the Vedanta, and just in words they say, I am Brahm, and you are Brahm, and like that. And they do not do anything in practice. They do not have any right to be Brahm. They don't know what Brahm is. They read only the things which were written by the great masters, and they think that whatever they are reading, they are becoming like that. Kabir Sahib says that those who read the four Vedas and the 18 Puranas and the six Shastras and all the other holy scriptures, they do not get anything. Their condition is just like the bird, which copies the voice of other birds. And from the hymn, they do not realize the correct method of liberation and are proud of their reading. As they do not learn the knowledge of this age, the poor fellows fall down. Now, what is the knowledge of this age? The knowledge of Shabdanam is the real knowledge of this age, and that is the only means of liberation. If, instead of learning that, we are involved in rites and rituals, we will get nothing. We will remain involved in them and get nothing in the end. All our lifetime, we people follow our ancestors like one sheep follows another sheep, no matter if the sheep is going in the right direction or not. In the same way, we say, our father used to do this rite and ritual, and that is why we are doing it. And our grandfather used to do this, and that is why we are doing it. We do not bother to see if it is doing any good to us or not. And from the hymn, humility and purity is the path of this age, and Guru Bhakti is the surest way for liberation. Meditation on Nam, developing humility, and doing the devotion of the Master are the only things which are useful to us in this age. Humility does not mean that we should leave whatever material things God has given us and go to the wilderness. It means that we should use whatever we have been given by God and understand it as God's. Again from the hymn. So become pure and holy within, and rise to the eye center, catching the Shabad. What will happen when we develop humility within us? By developing humility within us, we will understand that all the things which we have belong to God, and we will use all that in the cause of the Master, in the holy cause. And by doing so, we will gain the pleasure of the Master, and our inner path will become so clear and open to us that whenever we will enter within, we will see our own form and the form of God everywhere. It is as if we are standing in a palace of mirrors. Wherever we look, we see our own form. In the same way, when we develop humility within us, and when God manifests within us, we will see the form of God everywhere. From the hymn, "The inner path is of Surat and Shabad. The five sounds are the goal. Step by step, riding on Shabd, we reach Sat Khand." Saints explain to us that we are not the body, we are the soul, and we are the one who makes this body function. And when our soul rises above this body, and after crossing the stars, moon, and sun, we reach beyond all these things, then the sound of the Shabd starts coming to us by itself. The Shabd has started coming into our life, and only then we realize that the Shabd has created everything. When the Shabd starts coming within us, our soul becomes very pure. When our soul becomes pure, only then the Shabd starts coming very loudly, and we realize that it is coming from Sat Khand, and it is sounding at our eye center. Mahatmas have described the Shabd as the five sounds. They call it five sounds because it is coming through the five different planes. But really, it is the same sound coming from Sat Khand. And again from the hymn, "That is why, first of all, remember, Master, know all other works to be less important." Now, Swamiji Maharaj says, if you want to become successful in the devotion of the Master, if you want to achieve something in the path of spirituality, first of all, you should do your devotion to the Master. You should catch the Master because the Master has manifested the Nam within you. Master has seen the Nam, and he has become the form of the Nam. So that is why, if you want to achieve Nam, you first have to realize your Master. You first have to manifest your Master within you. We people do not catch hold of our Master. Instead, we try to catch hold of the Shabad, and we do not love the Master as much as we should. We do not realize that the Master is the Almighty, and unless we love him that much, we cannot realize the Shabd. Regarding myself, I have said many times that I told my Master Kirpal, "I don't believe in any Satnam. I don't believe in any Almighty Lord. I don't believe in any Supreme Being, because I'm not seeing any of them. I have seen you, and I take only you as the Supreme Being. I take you only as the Supreme Father and the Almighty Lord." We'll leave off at that point. And we have been listening to a satsang talk that Sanchi gave here in July of 1980 here at Sant Bani. This talk is called "Those Who Have No Enmity." And it's the sixth of the talks that Sanchi gave at that time in a series on the Garivars of Guru Ram Dass.
ਹੁਣ ਜਦੋਂ ਐਸੇ ਲੋਕ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾਵਾਂ ਦਾ ਮਾਣ ਆਦਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਜਾਂ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਕੋਲ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੰਕਾਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਦੇ ਸੜੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਮਾਨ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਦੇਖ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਈਰਖਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ.
When such people, the critics of saints, see that many people are coming to the masters and they are getting benefit and the masters are getting honored and the name is praised, they are becoming well known in the world, they don't like that, and because they are full of their ego and they are burning in their within in the fire of anger, that is why they cannot stand that and they become jealous.
Yogi tape nu bhi ehi hirkha si gi ki main itne mantar jantar janna hai, guru amardas ik budda hai, ede kole log kyon jande hai, ehi us yogi nu hirsha si.
That yogi who criticized Guru Amar Das was had the same jealousy. He thought that he knows many mantras and many other things, and this Guru Amar Das is an old man. Why people go to him and not come to me?
Ode vichari kya kare ja pagan tor mande jo mare tin paar gam
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹ ਵਿਚਾਰੇ ਵੀ ਕੀ ਕਰਨ ਜਦ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਭਾਗ ਹੀ ਤੋਂ ਮਾੜੇ ਲਿਖੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਲਿਖੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿਚਾਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਕੀ ਵੱਸ ਹੈ. ਸੋ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਪ੍ਰਭੂ ਦੇ ਮਾਰੇ ਹੋਏ ਹੈ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਇਸ ਪਾਸੇ ਲੱਗਦੇ ਹੈ.
Guru Ram Das said that what those poor people can do when it is written in their fate to criticize and do the bad deeds, and when God has decided for them that they are supposed to do that work, what those poor people can do when they are not having the grace of God.
Vair kar hai nirvair lal
kule nyaa vaaste bhejda hai aur ਉਹੀ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜੰਮਦੇ ਹੈ ਮਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਧਰਮਰਾਜ ਅੱਗੇ ਉਹਦੇ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਉਸਨੇ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਭੋਗਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਇਸ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਮੰਡਲ ਤੇ ਭੇਜ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਆਰ ਵਿਦਆਊਟ ਐਨੀਮਿਟੀ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਬਿਕਮ ਐਨੀਮੀ ਆਫ ਦੈਮ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਸੈਂਟ ਬਾਈ ਗੋਡ ਟੂ ਦਾ ਲਾਰਡ ਆਫ ਜਜਮੈਂਟ ਐਂਡ ਲਾਰਡ ਆਫ ਜਜਮੈਂਟ ਗਿਵਸ ਦੈਮ ਪਨਿਸ਼ਮੈਂਟ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਦੈਰ ਡੀਡਸ ਐਂਡ ਸੱਚ ਪੀਪਲ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਅਗੇਨ to suffer the reaction of the past, reaction of the deeds which they have done in their past life. And they always come in this world and go back and again come back. And in this way, they always suffer a lot.
Jo jo sant sarapya se phire pandin ped moda hun katya is da
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਜਿਸ ਪੇੜ ਦਾ ਜਿਸ ਦਰਖਤ ਦਾ ਪੇੜ ਹੀ ਕੱਟਿਆ ਗਿਆ ਡਾਣੇ ਉਹਦੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਸੁੱਕ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਵੈਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਹਾਨੀਕਾਰਕ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਮਤਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਹ ਕਹੀਏ ਕਿ ਸ਼ਾਇਦ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਕੁਛ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਹਿਣਾ, ਅਸੂਲ ਆਖਰ ਅਸੂਲ ਹੈ.
Now he said that when the tree is cut down, the branches die out by itself. In the same way, when we become the enemies of those, when we become the enemies of those masters who don't have any enemies, then we lose a lot, because the law applies to everyone. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that the law doesn't apply to us, we are the special people. Law applies to everyone. Those who criticize the masters, they always get pain.
ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਦੀ ਪੁੱਸ ਪਈ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਹਟਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਗਾ.
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਸ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਲਾਈਕ ਟੂ ਕ੍ਰਿਟੀਸਾਈਜ਼ ਅਦਰਸ ਦੇ ਕੈਨ ਨਾਟ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਦਿਸ ਹੈਬਿਟ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਸੋ ਮਚ ਅਟੈਚ ਟੂ ਇਟ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਅਵਖਦ ਸਭੇ ਕੀਤੀਆਂ ਨਿੰਦਕ ਦਾ ਦਾਰੂ ਨਾ ਹੈ ਆਪ ਭਲਾਵੇਂ ਨਾਨਕਾ ਪਚ ਪਚ ਜੋਨੀ ਪਾਹੇ. ਅਵਖਦ ਦਵਾਈ ਵੀ ਸਭ ਬਿਮਾਰੀਆਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਕੀਤੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ ਨਿੰਦਕ ਦਾ ਦਾਰੂ ਨਾ ਹੈ ਆਪ ਭਲਾਵੇਂ ਨਾਨਕਾ ਪਚ ਪਚ ਜੋਨੀ ਪਾਹੇ. ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਭਲਾਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਜੋਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜੰਮ ਪਏ ਮਰ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਮੈਡੀਸਿਨ ਫਾਰ ਐਵਰੀ ਡਿਜ਼ੀਜ਼ ਬਟ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋ ਮੈਡੀਸਿਨ ਫਾਰ ਕ੍ਰਿਟੀਸਿਜ਼ਮ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋ ਮੈਡੀਸਿਨ ਫਾਰ ਦਾ ਕ੍ਰਿਟਿਕ. ਗੋਡ ਮੇਕਸ ਦੈਮ ਫਰਗੈਟ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਆਲ ਐਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਮੇਕਸ ਦੈਮ ਵਾਂਡਰ ਹੇਅਰ ਐਂਡ ਦੇਅਰ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਬਰਥਸ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਮੇਕਸ ਦੈਮ ਕਮ ਐਂਡ ਗੋ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ.
ਅੰਤਰ ਹਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਤੇ ਆਏ ਕਟੈ ਨਾਹੀ ਇਕ ਤਿਲ ਕਿਸੈ ਦੀ ਕਟਾਈ।
ਜੋ ਸੇਵਕ ਸਿੱਖ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਪਣੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਜਾਂ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਘਟਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਦੇ ਪੂਰੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨੇ ਇਹ ਸਭ ਕੁਝ ਬਖਸ਼ਿਆ ਹੈ।
The disciple who after taking initiation manifests naam within him, his glory cannot be reduced in this world by anyone, because his master, his sadguru, has given him that glory, so nobody else in this world can reduce it.
Sachin sahib sadguru keval hai ta chak chak maren sab loka।
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਸੱਚਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਦੇ ਨਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਫਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਉਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਵੱਲ ਹੈ, ਦੁਨੀਆ ਝੱਕ ਮਾਰ ਕੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਬਹਿ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਟਰੂ ਲਾਰਡ, ਵਨ ਹੂ ਨੈਵਰ ਡਾਈਜ਼, ਦੈਟ ਇਮੋਰਟਲ ਲਾਰਡ, ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦ ਫੇਵਰ ਆਫ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੈਨ ਨੋ ਮੈਟਰ ਵਾਟ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਆਫ ਦ ਵਰਲਡ ਡੂ, ਬਟ ਸਟਿਲ ਦੇ ਵਿਲ ਨੈਵਰ ਬਿਕਮ ਸਕਸੈਸਫੁਲ, ਐਂਡ ਐਟ ਦੀ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਗੈਟ ਐਨੀ ਸਕਸੈਸ, ਦੇ ਕਮ ਬੈਕ, ਦੇ ਹੋਲਡ ਬੈਕ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਰਿਪੈਂਟ।
ਨਿੰਦਕਾਂ ਕੇ ਮੂੰਹ ਕਾਲੇ ਕਰੇ, ਹਰੇ ਕਰ ਤੈ ਆਪ ਦਾਈ। ਜਿਉਂ ਜਿਉਂ ਨਿੰਦਕ ਨਿੰਦਾ ਕਰੈ, ਤਿਉਂ ਤਿਉਂ ਨਿਤ ਨਿਤ ਚੜੈ ਸਵਾਈ।
ਹੁਣ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਐ ਕਿ ਨਿੰਦਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਮੂੰਹ ਕਾਲੇ ਕਰਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਰੋਜ਼ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਵਧਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿਵੇਂ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਨਿੰਦਕ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਵੇਂ ਉਵੇਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਸ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਫੈਲਦਾ ਹੈ।
Now he says that God blackens the face of the critics, and day by day he glorifies the name of the masters. Those who criticize the masters, their faces are blackened and their glory is diminished day by day.
ਸਾਡੇ ਦੇਖਣ ਦੀ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦੀ ਅਕਾਲੀਆਂ ਨੇ ਬੜੀ ਆਲੋਚਨਾ ਕੀਤੀ, ਇੱਥੋਂ ਤੱਕ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਡੇਰੇ ਦੇ ਸਾਹਮਣੇ ਗੁਰਦੁਆਰਾ ਬਣਾਇਆ ਔਰ ਸੁਬਾਹ ਤੋਂ ਸ਼ਾਮ ਤੱਕ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਆਲੋਚਨਾ ਕਰਨੀ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦਇਆ ਦੇ ਪੁੰਜ, ਉਹ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਭਰਾਵਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਤਕਲੀਫ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੋਏਗੀ ਰੋਟੀ ਟੁੱਕ ਦੀ, ਇਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਲੰਗਰ ਹੈ, ਇੱਥੋਂ ਰੋਟੀ ਖਾ ਲਿਆ ਕਰੋ। ਆਪ ਜਦੋਂ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਸੱਦਿਆ ਕਰਨ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਵਾਸਤੇ, ਵਿਚਾਰਨੀ ਸਭਾ ਬਣਾਈ ਅਕਾਲੀਆਂ ਨੇ, ਉਹ ਸਭ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਦਾ ਸਤਸੰਗ ਸੁਣ ਕੇ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਜਾ ਕਰਨ। ਅਕਾਲੀਆਂ ਨੇ ਸੋਚਿਆ ਕਿ ਅਗਰ ਆਪਾਂ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੱਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਰੇ ਸਿੱਖ ਜਿਤਨੇ ਹੈ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਜਾਣਗੇ, ਆਪਾਂ ਐਵੇਂ ਹੀ ਰਹਿ ਜਾਵਾਂਗੇ। ਆਖਰ ਕੀ ਕੀਤਾ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਗੁਰਦੁਆਰਾ ਛੱਡ ਗਏ, ਉਸਦਾ ਸਕੂਲ ਬਣਾ ਗਏ, ਅਜੇ ਵੀ ਕਾਇਮ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਨੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਖਾਣਾ ਖਾਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਲੰਗਰ 'ਚ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਸੀ।
ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸੀਨ ਦਿਸ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਵਾਸ ਅਪੋਜ਼ਡ ਵੈਰੀ ਮੱਚ ਬਾਈ ਦੀ ਅਕਾਲੀਸ, ਫਰੋਮ ਦੇ ਹੈਡ ਵਨ ਗੁਰਦੁਆਰਾ ਰਾਈਟ ਇਨ ਫਰੰਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਡੇਰਾ, ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਆਲਵੇਜ ਯੂਜ ਟੂ ਕ੍ਰਿਟੀਸਾਈਜ਼ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਐਂਡ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਅਬਿਊਜ਼ ਹਿਮ, ਬਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਵਾਸ ਵੈਰੀ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਰੀ ਲਵਿੰਗ ਵਿਦ ਦੈਮ, ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਹੀ ਵੁੱਡ ਆਲਵੇਜ਼ ਇਨਵਾਈਟ ਦੈਮ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਵੁੱਡ ਕ੍ਰਿਟੀਸਾਈਜ਼ ਹਿਮ, ਹੀ ਵੁੱਡ ਇਨਵਾਈਟ ਦੈਮ to come in the langar and have food, and he would say that brothers, you would, well, you might want some food to eat because you are doing this work from morning till night, why don't you come and have some food here. So he was always graciously allowing them to come and eat food in his langar, and after that many times the akalis would invite the other people, other akalis, to come and discuss about how to criticize and how to work against Master Sawan Singh more. So when the new people would come there, because the dera was right in front of the Gurdwara, that is why in the evening they would go to attend the satsang of Master Sawan Singh. And instead of discussing about criticizing the masters, they would become so much impressed by the teachings of Master that they would take naam, and in that way they would leave the company of those critics. So gradually when the Akalis saw that many people were being impressed by Master Sawan Singh, and in that way they are also becoming initiates, they thought of moving from that place. So they left that Gurdwara and they turned it into a school, and now also that school exists. But Master Sawan Singh used to invite them to eat food in his langar whenever they would criticize him.
Ek dafa akali 4-500 ikattha raat de koi 12-1 baje aage ki agar eh pura guru hai to sanu is vele khana khwaye, ਜਿਹੜੇ ਸੇਵਕ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਘਬਰਾਉਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਖਾਣਾ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਦੇਈਏ, ਇਹ ਕਿਉਂ ਆਏ ਹੈ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਘਬਰਾਉਂਦੇ ਕਿਉਂ, ਆਖਿਰ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਕੋਲ ਹੈ ਕੁਛ? ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਜੀ 40 ਆਦਮੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਸਮਾਨ ਹੈ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਠੀਕ ਹੈ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਲੋਹਾ ਚਾਲੂ ਕਰੋ, ਇਹਨਾਂ 'ਤੇ ਪਾਓ ਕੱਪੜਾ ਔਰ ਵਰਤਾਓ। ਜਦ ਵਰਤਾਉਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਹੀ ਖਾਣਾ ਪਿਆ ਸੀ 40 ਆਦਮੀਆਂ ਦਾ, ਉਹੀ ਅਕਾਲੀਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਮੁੱਕਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ, ਅਖੀਰ ਉਹ ਖਮੋਸ਼ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਚਲੇ ਗਏ। ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਹੱਸ ਕੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਸਿੱਧਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ, ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਸਿੱਧ ਆਏ ਸੀਗੇ ਪਰਖ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਮੂੰਹ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਦੰਦ ਜੜ੍ਹਾਂ ਕੱਢ ਲਈਆਂ, ਆਲੇ ਵਰਗੇ ਮੂੰਹ ਕਰ ਲਏ ਕਿ ਦੇਖਾਂਗੇ ਅਗਰ ਇਹ ਪੂਰਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਭੋਜਨ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਦੇਗਾ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਘਬਰਾਏ ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕੋਈ ਗੱਲ ਨਹੀਂ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਜਦ ਇੰਨੀ ਖੇਚੜਾ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ, ਵਿਚਾਰਿਆਂ ਨੇ ਦੰਦ ਜੜ੍ਹਾਂ ਕੱਢੀਆਂ, ਤਾਂ ਆਪਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਸਾ ਹੀ ਭੋਜਨ ਬਣਾਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਨੇ ਹਲਵਾ ਬਣਾਇਆ, ਸਭ ਨੂੰ ਖਾਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਤਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਅਕਾਲੀਆਂ ਕੋਲ ਇੰਨੀ ਤਾਂ ਵਿਚਾਰਿਆਂ ਕੋਲ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਦੰਦ ਜੜ੍ਹਾਂ ਕੱਢ ਕੇ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੇ, ਅਤੇ ਆਪਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਨੇ ਪ੍ਰਸ਼ਾਦ ਖਵਾਇਆ ਸੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਪਰਖ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਲੇ ਸੀ, ਆਪਾਂ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਰੋਟੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਖਵਾ ਸਕਦੇ। ਸੋ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਨੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕੀਤਾ, ਮੁਹੱਬਤ ਕੀਤੀ, ਖਾਣਾ ਖਵਾਇਆ।
ਵੰਸ ਸਮ 400 or 500 ਪੀਪਲ ਅਕਾਲੀਸ ਕੇਮ ਟੂ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਇਨ ਮਿਡਨਾਈਟ ਐਟ ਮਿਡਨਾਈਟ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਕੇਮ ਟੂ ਟੈਸਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਕੇਮ ਐਂਡ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਹੰਗਰੀ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਵਾਂਟ ਫੂਡ ਟੂ ਈਟ ਦੇ ਥੋਟ ਦੈਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਵੁੱਡ ਹੈਵ would not have any food in his langar to serve all this 400 or 500 people, and in that way they will get one chance of humiliating him and saying that he is not a master. But Master Samant Singh didn't become nervous, although the dear ones who were in charge, they were become nervous because there was not much food in the langar. They had only food for 40 people. So they came to Master Samant Singh and they were very much afraid. Master Samant Singh said that, don't be nervous, tell me, do you have anything in the langar? They said, yes master, we have food enough only for 40 people. Master Savan Singh told them to start cooking food and said that, let us distribute whatever we have to them. So when they started giving food, everybody was well fed, and still in the end the food for 40 people was remained. So Master Savan Singh didn't become nervous and he fed everyone with love and patience, and they were so much impressed to see that how Master Savan Singh was serving them at midnight when he didn't even have enough food for all these people. Master Samant Singh told his dear ones that when Guru Nanak was opposed by Siddhas, once Siddhas came to him to test him, and Siddhas had the supernatural powers with them, so they removed their teeth from their mouth and they came to Guru Nanak and said that, you are called the master, now you should feed us, because people say that whoever comes to you, you feed them well. So now you know that we don't have any teeth and you should feed us some food. They thought that Guru Nanak will have nothing to feed them with because they don't have any teeth, and if they will be fed with the regular food, they will not be able to eat that. And so Guru Nanak Sahib will have to do something else which he would not be able to. So they would get one more excuse to criticize him. But Guru Nanak Sahib also didn't become nervous and he made halwa and he gave that food to everyone. Halwa is such a food which most of you know that you don't have to use your teeth, if you just swallow it, it's very very delicate. So Guru Nanak Sahib made that halwa for them and they all were very much fed. So Master Samant Singh said that when the Siddhas came to Guru Nanak, they had the supernatural powers, and that is why they removed their teeth and Guru Nanak Sahib fed them with halwa. But these Akalis, poor Akalis, they don't have any supernatural powers, so they cannot remove their teeth. When Guru Nanak fed his critics, his opponents with halwa, can't we feed them with the regular food? So Master Samant Singh loved them very much and he fed them very well and they were very much impressed.
We will close our satsang with Guru Arjan's bhajan, Hon Kurbane Jao Merbana, page 162. O benefactor, I sacrifice myself on those who repeat your Naam. Those who repeat your Naam, I sacrifice myself on them 100 times. O dear one, one has got this body and Maya and has colored his clothes. But when my beloved doesn't like that colored cloth, Why waste this wealth? O dear one, if you want to dye your body, dye it in the saffron color of Nam. If the Lord dyes you in his color, such a color cannot be seen anywhere else. O dear one, the Beloved is with those who have dyed their garments. Nanak prays for the dust of such souls. He himself creates, he himself dyes, he himself appreciates. Nanak says, if he wills it, then the wife, the disciple, is liked by the husband, the Lord. O benefactor, I sacrifice myself on those who repeat your Nam. Those who repeat your Nam, I sacrifice myself on them 100 times. Om Kurbani Jao Merbana, page 162.
Om Kurbani Jao Merbana, Om Kurbani Jao, Om Kurbani Jao, Tenanke Ho Sad Kurbani Jao. Om Kurbani Jao Merbana, Om Kurbani Jao, Om Kurbani Jao, Tenanke Ho Len Jotera Nao. Len jo tera nao tenanke ho sad kurbane jao. E tan maya paya pyare rita dralava rangaye. Mere kanta navave chura piyare kyondan se jai jai. Etan maya paya piyare rita dralab rangaye. Mere kanta navave chura piyare kyondan se jai jai. Kyondan se jai jai. Om Kurbani Jao Merbana, Om Kurbani Jao, Om Kurbani Jao, Tenanke Len Jo Tera Nao. Len jo tera nao tenanke ho sad kurbane jao. Kaya rangan jeti e pyare pae nam majita. Rangana vala je ranga sahib esa rangana dita esa rangana dita. Om Kurbani Jao Merbana, Om Kurbani Jao, Hon kurubane chao tenanke lanjo tera nao. Lanjo tera nao tenanke hon sad kurubane chao. Chole jin ke ratre pyare kantati na ke pas durati na ki je milji kahu nanak ki ardas. Kaho nanak ki ardas. Hon kurubane jao merbana. Hon kurubane jao. Hon kurubane jao. Tenanke lenjo tera nao. Lenjo tera nao. Tenanke hon sad kurubane jao. Ape saje ape range ape nadarkari nanak kamana kante bave ape hirave ape hirave. Hon kurubane jao merbana. Hon kurubane jao. Hon kurubane jao tenanke lenjo tera nao. Lenjo tera nao tenanke hon sad kurubani jao.
O benefactor, I sacrifice myself on those who repeat your name. Those who repeat your name, I sacrifice myself on them 100 times. And may God bless us all.